Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he is there in the midst. Hallelujah. And so we welcome you, Father God, in our midst, as we have welcomed you from the beginning up to now in the name of Jesus. It couldn't have been a better day today because it's baptism. The word of God says the heavens are roaring, the angels are roaring, and it's not just one, it is two. So I can imagine the heavens are open, and we here are rejoicing with the heavens today over the life of Ben and over the life of James. Amen. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, there is in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. I am not seeing that joy. I said, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. I love Ben. When you gave your story, I felt like standing up to say, that's the preaching for today, you know, it's done. I have nothing more to say. It is the freedom in Christ. It's unbelievable. Hallelujah. And you know what I like? You know, when I read stuff like the devil is a liar, he's like a roaring lion, he's like, he's a deceiver, is that? Yes, that's exactly what he is. Nothing he says is true, and nothing he says stands. Amen. There is freedom, so much freedom, and he deceives us. People have this impression about coming to church that, oh, you got to be holy, oh, you got to read the Bible, oh, you got to pray for so many hours, oh, you got to... Ben today was an example of feeling free in the Lord. Hallelujah. I felt like standing up and jumping and singing and dancing and doing all of it. Amen. Because that's exactly how my walk with the Lord has been. Freedom. How I feel is how I say it to him. Amen. And when I was growing up, maybe because I didn't have my father around, so he became my father. He took the place of my father. So I could go to him if I needed a pair of shoes. I could go to him if I needed clothing. I could go for him for everything. So I felt really free. And ever since, I have been feeling free with him. And I want to invite all of us not to be inhibited by any lifestyle, not to be inhibited by my lifestyle or another's lifestyle, but to know that in your father's house, there is freedom. Amen. In your father's presence, there is freedom. How you feel it is how you say it. Amen. There's no holding back. Today, we're talking about our time belonging to God. I love this season because it's titled Sharing Jesus. And the second reason why I love sharing this season is because it's specific to Warsaw. Hallelujah. Warsaw Community Church. That is how it's called, Warsaw Community Church. We are to go out there into Warsaw and share Jesus. Amen. There's nothing else. You see, after baptism, God could just say, right, Ben, that's it. Off you go to heaven. You're now mine. Come on. It's all done and dusted. So why is God leaving you here? Why is God leaving me here? He says in his word for us to share him. Amen. So that more and more people will come to know him. Now, last week, Heidi started off with too busy to share Christ. Too busy to share Jesus. And that's true. Our lives are so, so busy. But I serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. Does anyone here serve that kind of God? Amen. With him, nothing is impossible. Amen. And he says, when the enemy sets fences against you, the Lord will raise a standard against the fences and the challenges that have been set against you. So who better can we walk with than the Lord in order to enable us share Jesus even in this busyness of our lives. Amen. I like us to start with Psalm 21. Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. Everything we see belong to him. The creation, us, we all belong to him. And therefore, our time, I will say, belong to God. One question I ask myself is, when they say give your time to God, I said, how do I own time? It's not even mine to start with. The time doesn't belong to me. It's God's. So how do I give back what belongs to him? So I started to think as I started WCC about 3 years ago now. It feels like forever. That's why I am not sure. I'm looking at him to say, yes, it was 3 years ago. But it feels like forever I've been here. And the church, it has always been reaching out to people, reaching out to people. It's outreach, reaching out to people in the community. And so I'm thinking, my Lord, I've got a busy profession as a social worker. By the time I come back at the end of the day, I'm shattered. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to read any book. I just want to. Sometimes I don't even want to eat. That's how tired I am sometimes. I just want to lay there and sleep. And then I've got 3 children. Oh, my world. There's football. There's gymnastics. There's cadets. There's music. There's everywhere. Florence used to ask me, how do you manage to do all this? And I said, it's only the strength of God. If not for him, I don't know how I run left, right, center, up, down, and have a husband, and have a profession, and have all of that. Amen. So today, I want to share with you how God's been helping me. But firstly, I started thinking in myself, okay, God, you've got me to do your work. You've asked me that I have to share Jesus. So help me. I'm determined now to retire at the age of 55. Just help me. I'm not going. By the time I'm 67, you see, the government have put up the law. They keep moving the goalposts as I'm growing older. They're moving it. Now it's 67. I say, Lord, if I'm retiring by 67, it means I have nothing to give you. All my energy would have been sapped. So what would be left for the kingdom? Okay. Being as one who will sacrifice for the kingdom, I said, Lord, I am determined now. I know the best thing would be to retire at 55. So I have still some strength in my bones to go around the world or to do ministry or to share Jesus. And I came home. I said to my husband, you know, I've decided I'm going to retire at 55. He just looked at me. Dazed. He didn't even know what to say. He just looked at me and pushed it to her. I carried on, and I was seriously praying about it. And as you know, small groups are powerful. I don't know where I would have been without my small group. But my small group is my live wire to Jesus. So we discussed everything in my small group. And one day I raised the point to Chris, and I said, you know, my plan is to retire at 55. I was so happy, and I was really planning to retire at 55. And she went, 55, retire. Okay. I don't think that's the only place where, the only time that I'd be able to share the word of God. I think where God has placed you, especially your profession, it's a profession that requires, it's the role that you're performing is as good as serving God. Your honesty, your advocating on behalf of people, you're doing so many things that you're doing that you don't think people are watching, they're watching. And that just hit something in my spirit, and I thought, whoa, okay, there's a point I'm missing here. And I come back to the Lord, and I says, Lord, it's true. You've placed me as a social worker. You've given me 3 children. You've given me a husband. And you've equally said I should go out there and share. So it's where I go to, you say I should share. Now there are so many laws against me. The law says I can't preach God in my place of work. So, definitely, as a social worker, I will never mention anything God with my service users. That would be a sacking. So I said, but how? How will I do this? That was where my journey started, as to coming to share with you today. When Katie told me around about August that you're going to talk today, I said, on what? And she went, sharing Jesus. And I said, okay, can I think about it and come back to you? And I ran to God. I said, you can't do this to me. We have only just started. I have not even started to even talk to anybody in work yet. And he says, don't worry, I will prepare you. And I just carried on. And he says, as I started looking into it with him, I realized that what was holding me back from talking about him is I felt like I had to be perfect in order to talk about him. Because what kept on coming was, look at you. You are going to tell somebody that your God is a healer. Has he healed you? Look, you're still ill. You go off sick and you do this. I was waiting for all of that. And then also the fear of being rejected. I mean, you know, who's that? How dare you talk to me about spiritual things? And also, I had this fear of not being understood, not using the right grammar and words, especially when my children laugh at me, the way I pronounce words. And so I had all those challenges stacked against me. I said, how do I even start? But thank God for the Holy Spirit. It is not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. If you depend on your perfection, this was God talking to me. If you depend on your perfection, you will share that word in heaven. You can never share it on earth. If you depend on your strength, you will never have enough strength to share Jesus. If you're scared of the outcome that you will not respond, it says it's not your role. The convicting is done by the Holy Spirit. Identify what's your role. My role is to talk. That's what the Holy Spirit was telling. He said, your role is just to open your mouth and talk about the word. And my role is to do the convicting. So which is yours? Are you going to try to do mine or do yours? Okay, that was separated, sorted. So I gave him his place. And I says, okay then, how are we going to do this? And he started. He says, just be intentional. As you walk into your place of work, what have you got placed on your lips for people? Is it to bless people or to chatter, chatter, chatter away? He says to talk to people is not bad, but use your time wisely. If people approach you or somebody says, good morning, I say, yeah, the morning is good. How about you? That is a connecting point. Amen. And he reminded me, he says, we are ambassadors of his kingdom. And that opened a new whole world to me as I was meditating and preparing to come out here today to present. And I started to think, as an ambassador, I remember that when Julian Assange ran to the embassy for, I can't remember the country now, he was safe and he was being chased by the British government. But as soon as he stepped into the embassy, he was saved from, although the embassy is on British soil, he was saved from the British government because the whole of that embassy is regarded as the country that the embassy represents. So God says to me, you come from heaven. You're ordained by heaven. You're sent by heaven. You're an ambassador of heaven. So you're on earth. Right, okay. All around me here is my embassy. anybody that steps into my life is stepping onto safe grounds because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in me. So if anybody steps into my embassy, is stepping away or is stepping into freedom, joy everlasting, healing, everything that the Holy Spirit has declared that I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then God reminded me of Isaiah 61. If we like to turn to that, please. Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives and freedom. And it carries on. Amen. One thing the Holy Spirit said to me is, you've not accepted who you are in Christ. Yes, you say you're born again. Yes, you say you love the Lord. Have you accepted yourself as an anointed one to the brokenhearted? Until you step into that role of who you really are, it's not to walk around with an air of judgment around you, no, because we are all fallen beings. We're all saved by the grace. But it's for me to recognize the anointing of God on me and have the confidence to carry that anointing, to be able to say, I am like you, but I know one who is your healer. And you are healed. Because there are so many ills as we talk to people in places of work, at home, where I go to gymnastics, in football, there are so many ills. People are crying out for something out there that will take away depression, something out there that will take away hopelessness, something out there that will give them a purpose for life, something out there that will direct them and guide them in this life. People are lost. And this is me sitting here, an anointed one, a commissioned one that has been anointed by heaven, by the Almighty, to say, go out there, open your mouth, set the captives free. And I am sitting here and ignoring the fact that that anointing is upon me. As I said, it is not that the anointing should make me become proud. No. The anointing does not make me better than anybody. In fact, I am the least qualified to be standing here today, except by the grace of God, that I am standing here this morning to share what God is doing in my life. And I am grateful to God for that. So we walk with people in humility, identifying with them in difficulties. We go through the same challenges. Last year was a... I think I shared with Chris last year. I said I felt like committing suicide. I was suicidal. And how could it be that I worship God so much? I love Jesus with all of my heart. And that's because things were not just working. Children, I was seeing myself as a failure in my children, a failure in my husband, a failure in Christ, a failure in every way. But here comes Christ with prayer and preaching and talking and admonition. I am whole and I am standing here. So what I am saying is that we go through the same things that the world is going through. So it's for us to share with them how we have managed to overcome by the power of God. Amen. It takes confidence. And so I say, Lord, it has been said, I cannot. How do I start talking about somebody at work about you when the law forbids it? He said, don't worry. That's when he showed me a picture. If we go back, just one touch, yes. You see, this is not accurately what he showed me. What he showed me was him in the middle, God in the middle. He is the light of the world. And where there is darkness, light comes in. He shines the light. And darkness can never overpower the light. And as long as I share, he is the one to do the convicting. He is the one to outshine the darkness in that person's life. It's not me. Amen. Mine is to respond to his word. So I started saying, so how should we do this then? The Holy Spirit now said, put your hand in my hand and I will take you. If I take you, there is nothing that is impossible. You will do. So he says, be intentional. That's what he said I should do. Be focused. That's what he said I should do. So I'm going to work now. Right from the parking lot, I'm going to work and I am being intentional. I am focused. I am looking. As I wake up, I read the Bible and I says, what word will I deliver today if I met anybody? What am I supposed to say? Don't worry, I'll give you what to say. And firstly, I go to fix my laptop. My laptop had a problem. And I'm sitting with this young man. And I said, hello. He said, yeah. He says, how are you today? He's fixing my laptop. He says, fine. I said, what's your name? He says, Joseph. He just went, and I went, Joseph? Right, that's an interesting name. The coat of many colors. And he went, what do you mean? I said, and I says, Joseph, it's in the Bible. Who named you Joseph? And he said, his grandma. And I said, your grandma must be a Christian. And he went, yes, she's a Christian. And I said, you don't mind me talking about God, do you? And he said, oh, no, 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 carry on. And he's fixing my laptop. So that's how easy it was. He's fixing my laptop. And I says, Joseph is an interesting name. He was a dreamer that believed so strongly in God. I says, do you go to church? And he went, I went to church when I was young. But, you know, as you grow up, you become a teenager. The things of teenage years, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying my life and that. And I says, but you know what? God is not about going to church. God is about having a relationship with you. He's interested in you, not because you should come to church. He's interested in you because he wants you to talk to him, to communicate with him. You've just said that, oh, because you want to go partying, because you want to go. That's where God wants to be. I says, do you not think God would like to have a party? He's having a party every day, you know, because it is funny, but God wants to go with us everywhere. He is everywhere. I started this morning by saying how I feel is how I say to him. I want to go out partying. My mates are partying. And this, let the Holy Spirit do the job of convicting. Leave that to the Holy Spirit. Mine is to say it as I feel, as I see it to God. He will use his word to convict me, and that is his job. Okay, so I says to him, God wants to go with you everywhere, and don't think that he's going to stop you from dancing. He loves to dance as well. Invite him into your dancing. You give him dance moves. But that's true. There's nothing that we imagine that God cannot. The Bible says he goes over and beyond whatever we imagine. God is too much for us to even imagine the whole of him. And he is so loved. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to come and die for us. It's his word. And ours is to share Jesus. So our time belonging to God, it means we are able to speak about God everywhere we go. We don't have to be 55 to retire at 55 and give the whole time to God. We have to take him into the places that we're going into. Whatever role it is that you're doing, God has assigned you in that place for a soul in that place. There are or even souls in that place. So let us not be like me who was waiting to retire, but let us take God into whatever we're doing. And let us, what he said to me is, let us put our hands in the hand of the Holy Spirit. Because when he is leading and guiding, you go all the way. There is nothing to stop us. Amen. Because he makes the impossible becomes possible. And so today's baptism is also a testimony to us to say God is still alive and he's still working. He has never changed. The God that worked wonders in the time of the apostles is still working wonders in our time today. Let us use our freedom to reach out to those who are out there without Christ, without the knowledge of this wonderful freedom. Amen. The other thing he said is the cost. I know there is a cost to everything. But in this cost, I rejoice in the cost because I know it's only for a time. It's not there forever. Amen. And I'm happy that God, the Almighty, will call me to share in his work. Amen. So, thankfully, this part of the world has given us religious freedom to be able to speak. I can speak on the streets with nobody, you know, stopping me or hurling curses or, you know, I mean, maybe some people will turn an eye up, you know, and that. But nobody's coming after you to, you know, kill you, like in some part of the world where you can't, you're not allowed to. So we are grateful to God for that. But in this part of the world, because we are saved, sometimes we don't seem to realize the freedom that we have. And our cost might be different because there's so much that we can do with our time, but we choose to give it back to God who has given it to us. And so the cost can be, because it's not a popular thing, you will find yourself in isolation. You'll find your friends who you used to call your friends when your life was not in Christ now stepping away from you. You would have to make new friends. Amen. And you have to sometimes find yourself believing something that you think, is it just me? This is all. But you'll be so tied to it by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you will carry on going, but you find yourself in a place where you are all by yourself. But I want to say to us, to encourage us, that at those times, we're never alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, Jesus is with us, and God himself is with us. They all are there with us. Amen. So another cost is finances. Part of my journey so far is I have realized that we can connect to people using the things that God has given us, like my smile. The first thing I do when I see someone is give them a really good smile. And I says, are you new to Warsaw? Even in the marketplace, when I see faces, it's not that I know everybody in Warsaw. I don't know everybody in Warsaw. But when I am prompted by the Holy Spirit, I give a big smile. And some people just feel like, oh, I know this one somewhere. And I'm going, yes, I know you from heaven. I know you before. I know you when my God created you. I go, how are you? And they go, I'm fine. I say, are you new to Warsaw? They go, yeah, I just moved. Most of them I've spoken to, yes, it's been 2 months, 3 months that they moved to Warsaw. Have you got a church? Not yet. I am still looking. And I says, we've got one just around the corner from Primark. It's Warsaw Community Church. We welcome everybody. You know, and so if you like to come, can you give, so far I've got two numbers that I'm going to follow up with, people that you need to follow up with. But going back to the story of Joseph as well, when I told that young man, I says, you want to go and read up the story of Joseph? He says, yes, I think I would like to do that. I've never really thought of what my name means and what, you know, how it relates. My nan just gave me, I said, your nan loved you so much, and it is for good reasons. You go and read about Joseph. So things like that, we connect to people. Then coming to our finances, I went into a shop, and I happened to meet this work colleague. It was on a Saturday, and she was there with her daughter. We were all preparing. We just spoke. It's not somebody that is very close to me because we are on different teams as well. And we spoke, and I says, "How are you? You getting ready?" He says, "Yes, I'm doing my daughter's hair." And I said, "Oh, yes, I've come in as well to buy extensions for my daughter's hair." So we just spoke, and I says, "Oh, how old is your daughter?" He says, "She's 11 or 10 at the time." And when we got to the till, I was in front, and I turned as I finished. He said, "Oh, I'm behind you." So we said, again, I looked at the little girl, and something prompted me to ask, "What year are you in?" And she says, "Year 7. She's going to start year 7. And I says, "Oh, wow." And the money that was in my hand, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Give it to her." And I gave it to her, and the mom went, "Oh, no. Oh, no, why? Don't do that." I says, "No, God asked me to bless her. So it is a blessing." And as I walked away, God says, "That's a connection. And next time you see her, ask about the child. There will be a story that will come with the child. And that's your access." Amen. And so, even with the people that I've been speaking to, I don't have all the time today to say about how many people I've been speaking to. But the other thing that the Holy Spirit said to me was, if possible, where possible, take down the names, write them. Why, Holy Spirit? Because you will pray over those names and pray, sowing. You are sowing the word of God into their lives. You have to be praying over them. Amen. So there is a way where there seems to be no way. There's always a way. So whether the laws like it or not, Jesus will be preached. Whether the earth likes it or not, God will be glorified. He is the owner of the whole world, and he made it for his own purposes, which will come to pass because he has spoken it. Amen. Lastly, I want to say that Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." I want to encourage us to take up the courage, knowing that God is backing us, knowing that he is the one doing the convicting, knowing that we are only to speak and he will back us up. He has never failed. He is faithful. And above all, he is the owner. He is the first one that loves everyone, not me. I just have an aspect of him in me to love. And that is what I am doing. So let us be encouraged that there is no weapon that the enemy will form against us that will prosper. It won't work because God has said it, that it's got to pass through him to get to you. And that's why he has hidden us under himself. He has enveloped us under his shadow, his wings, everything you want. He has given us so many images of him having us under him that nothing will touch us. So let us be encouraged. Fiery that the challenges, they will come. You will not go, it's not plain sailing. Let me put it that way. They will come. But I tell you, the joy that comes after the challenge is worth more than not going through the challenge. Have I spoken it in Africa? In African language. Okay, let me try and rephrase it. Okay. This is what I'm saying is, the joy that comes afterwards is much more than the displeasure that we have going through the challenge. Amen. And he said, "Test and see that the Lord is good. He has never failed. He will never fail us." I pray that today God will help us to get out there into Warsaw with courage, with confidence, with the smiles on our faces, to give people the life that God has given to us. No longer shall we be afraid, because we're not slaves anymore. We are freeborn in the Lord. He has called us. He has called us to be his own. He has made us sons and daughters of his kingdom. And so we are. Today he is saying to us, be brave. Accept who you are. You are an anointed child of God. Go out there. It might not be evidence. If you're looking for it physically, you will not see until you take the move. It's the moving God, the victory in the spirit that becomes evident on the outside. It is evident in our speaking, evident in our choices, evident in our words. And when you speak, people will say, is this not scholar? Yes, it is scholar, but being conformed to become like Jesus. And this is how the apostles came to be called Christians, because they started speaking like Jesus. They started making choices like Jesus, to the extent that Paul's handkerchief was healing people. Amen. And now that is a challenge to me. When Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will do much more than I have done. That has stuck in my head for all my life till today. I always say, God, I'm still not doing anything anywhere near what Jesus did. I am not even doing anything near what Paul did, let alone what Jesus did. So I am calling us today to arise. There is nothing that is bigger, no imagination, no situation, nothing that the world would throw at us that is bigger or beyond our God. The Bible says he is almighty. That means all power belongs to him. And last year, the word power came to my spirit so many times I had to check, what does this mean? What is power? And simply, the Holy Spirit says, I wanted you to know that power simply means it's influence. Influence. And who better to influence the earth than God? It's God. It says, your heart, the heart of all men, is in my hand, or are in my hands, and I can cause them to will to obey. God is behind it all. Let us be confident. Let us go out there intentionally, consciously, and declare the kingdom. Otherwise, when we stay in here and say, let your kingdom come, there's nobody out there bringing that kingdom down. We are the ones to bring that kingdom down. Amen. We are a fortified city. In Jesus' name, amen.